This week, I want to talk about emotions, reactions versus response, what's happening in the body, what it feels like, what we can do about it. And I might even touch on exactly why you're triggered in this way, why the abuser wants you to react. Welcome to the Mindfuckery podcast, which is Feedspot's fifth must listen to podcast on emotional abuse. I'm your host, Elizabeth, and in here we explore areas others fear to tread. I'm a woundologist and I have been for over 20 years working with past life wounds, clearing ancestral trauma and working with this life wounding. Through my own personal journey, I know how much this hurts and how confusing life becomes. So many questions, no real answers. I'm the author of Finding Lily, which I wrote in Greece as my marriage was crumbling around me. The A to Z of emotional abuse followed as I discovered new words and language and phrases that I had no idea existed, and I realised were now my reality. My third book, Divorce Matters, has been written to support you through the divorce process. It's a really important part. You can get the closure you need, heal the emotional wounds, and because your divorce matters are really important as well, it gives you permission to ask for the information you've been told not to ask for. I'm the founder of the Inner Healing Sanctuary and creator of Wound Talking, The Original Wound and Quantum Glow Healing. And I'm on a mission to educate as many people as I can on the effects of trauma in our lives and our children's lives and healing the wounds of our mothers and our fathers. It stops here, it stops now, it stops with us. So welcome along for the journey of a lifetime. Hello, and you are very, very welcome. This week I want to talk about emotions. Might even do a little exercise during the podcast, if I can, weave it in to help you understand what's going on and feel into your body. Because sometimes when we are in these relationships, coming out of these relationships, we don't feel at all that disassociation. Emotions arise from activations of several parts of the cerebral cortex. Feelings are conscious emotional experiences, and their activations contribute to networks mediating our thoughts, language, and behavior. Emotions enhance the ability to predict, to learn, to reappraise, to look at situations in the environment based on previous experiences. And the role of the amygdala constantly evaluates and integrates the sensory information from around us, from our surroundings, and then it assigns appropriate values. It participates in the regulation of the autonomic and endocrine functions, decision-making and instinctive and motivational behaviours. So feel into your body at the moment, if you can, and see whether a certain situation, if it's safe for you to do this, is in your body. Think about some of the statements or sayings that we have, like all the hairs on the back of my neck stood on end or made my skin crawl. These are our emotions our body is able to pick up and give us information and tell us what's going on. Our second brain is our gut, our stomach. In fact, it's our intuitive brain. It intuits the environment. It tells us whether we're safe. And it might be something that you've been told to turn off, to ignore. In reality, in my personal opinion, I think it should be our first brain. Our brain, the one that we hold in our head, overrides some of the information that our body is giving us and saying, get out, it's unsafe, run. I wonder how many of you can put your hand up and say that you saw red flags or that your body was telling you to run and you overrode it. I can, because I did both. And there were times that I thought I need to run away from this relationship. And in fact, I spoke to my now ex about it. I don't know what the situation was, but it was sort of left as a comical thing. You know, my body was actually telling me to run away. And I was overriding that because this guy seemed so brilliant. He seemed so charming. He seemed so supportive. And yet that changed. And I did see little glimpses. So when you think about a certain situation, is your body telling you something? I said at the beginning of the intro that I was going to talk about response versus reaction, or I think it might be the other way around. I'll quickly cover that and why out of the relationship and in it, it works for the emotional abuser, for the narcissist. And that role that you play, because you play a role on this board, of this chessboard, as part of our self-preservation, our mind is so clever. It shuts parts of our mind down, our brain down, so it doesn't get damaged any further. And as part of our psyche, something similar happens to us. Part of our spirit, part of our soul breaks away. And that, again, is in the same way to protect us, to protect part of who we were. It's a really important part of the healing process, collecting all those parts back. But let's just talk about the response and the reaction. The emotional abuser, the narcissist, wants you to react, and it serves them in various different forms. It shows that you still care. It shows that they've still got control. It proves to other people that you are crazy and they did nothing wrong, and this is what they've had to live with. When you're living from that place, you aren't making good decisions. You're in fight or flight. You're ready to fight with them, or you're ready to run away. You're reacting to words, emotions, feelings. It might be something that you pick up. Responding is taking that information, not working from an emotional reaction, but being in your body, thinking things through, looking at the consequences, looking at the bigger picture, what's going on. It's being in control in that moment. It's making decisions, and okay decisions. It's cutting off that emotional supply to the abuser, the narcissist. Now, you could walk away, shut the door, and fall to the floor and be an emotional wreck, but they haven't seen that, and they haven't got the reaction that they were looking for. They haven't got the response via email or text message or a phone call. That's what they're looking for. That's what feeds them. That's their supply. That's their energy supply. Like the electric car that's plugged into the charge station. Your charge station has a big sign on it that now says out of order. So to be in that position where you are responding, you can do lots of different things. I'd also add some links into the description box. I talk about using grounding techniques. Breathing is another favourite. There's a chakra balancing one. I'll have to look at and see what I've got for that. As a Reiki master teacher, I used to teach that. I've mentioned dry brushing as well, and I can't remember whether I mentioned it in one of the interviews I've done recently or on a podcast. And I will talk you through that at the end of this podcast, because it's a really powerful disconnect as well. But that's what we're aiming for. We're aiming for being in a place that we can respond in a way that we are going to say later, okay, I did that bit really well. The other bits are crumbled, but that bit I did really well. And then we can build on that. Being in the body might feel as if it's the most unsafe place, but it isn't. Being in head is. Your head was tricked into believing a lot of lies about yourself. And now this is on repeat. And like earworms have got in there, and they're talking to you and chattering away, telling you all this information, all these things that you've done wrong, that you've got wrong, that's bad about you. We're playing all the situations and the conversations of why they had an affair, why they had to do it, and it was your fault, because if you had given them more attention, they wouldn't have had to go and seek it at somewhere else. It goes backwards and forwards, and then you get into rumination. You go over the conversations, if only and maybe, if only I hadn't done this, if only I had done this, maybe if I hadn't, maybe if I had, and you then get into a spiral. I've spoken about this before. My children used to watch Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and I saw this one episode with them. There was a filing cabinet in one of the rooms, and they were looking for information, and in comical style the drawer came out, and it came out, and it came out. And it reminded me at the time of the information that we've got in our heads. Our brains are like storage cabinets, and we're flicking through the files, and this is what happens. You've got like a little runner in your head that goes running, searching for that information, searching for that scenario, searching for that event, for that time that you said. But not only that time, it might have other proof that you've done this before. So some of the work that I do with Honest Conversations and with Wound Talking is actually going in and finding out where these beliefs come from, where they're held in your body, and talking to them and finding out where they come from and who said them to you, challenging them, and then looking for information to disprove this belief that you hold about yourself. It's really, really powerful. So in the intro, I said I was going to talk about reactions and responding. And what else did I say? And why they wanted you to do it. So I think I've covered all those bits. So let's go back to our brains. The one in our head, say that's the filing cabinet, and the one in our body, which is our gut reaction. This is where our feelings and emotions and our intuition is. This is where our inner knowing comes from. It's sat there right in the center of our chest, or our body, our torso, and we're told to ignore it. We're feeling unsafe, but we are told that it's a safe environment. I don't know what's wrong with you. Why would you think this isn't safe? And yet everything around you is picking up. It might be that you're picking up on the energy of other people. Remember, we vibrate and we are exchanging information on a level that we can't see. And so because we've got no physical proof, sometimes we don't believe that. If you start to think about scenarios, think about situations that aren't going to badly trigger you, pick something half safe and see whether you can feel that emotion in your body. It could be the way that a teacher yelled at you at school. It could be that you received punishment at school. It could be a punishment that happened in the home. It could be watching the difference between the way that one of your parents or both of your parents treated you versus treated other people. And just feel into your body. And if you can feel a difference, that chemical reaction, the shift, it might be a tingling, it might be a change in heat, or you might feel, oh, I feel a bit stiff in an area, then that is where you're actually holding the emotional pain, the emotional trauma that happened at the time. So much like a physical wound, an emotional wound lands in the body somewhere. It's held in the body until we can release it. Unlike a physical wound, it stays there. The trauma around physical abuse will still be lodged in the body because of the emotional reaction, because of what happened. Bones break and they repair themselves, but there might be a trauma. Bruises heal. Your body repairs yourself. There might be trauma. It might be that your skin in that area, if it was burnt or cut, is a little bit more tender. It could be that it isn't just that it's tender because of the scar. It could be that it's tender because it's got a memory around it. And this is where your mind, when faced with certain situations, makes different judgment calls. It sees or takes the information from past experiences. And this also happens with the words that we hear. Based on past experiences, our mind has been trained. The information that we've put in has trained it to protect ourselves. We are born to survive. A baby knows how to survive. It has an inbuilt warning system to the caregivers that it's uncomfortable. It knows how to ask for everything it needs. It knows how to say, I'm hungry. It knows how to say, I'm tired, I'm wet, I need a hug. It knows how to ask for what it wants, unless its needs don't get met. And it might learn that it's a fruitless task screaming and using all that energy when nobody is going to respond to it. We have been trained in a certain way, like Pavlov's dog. Ivan Pavlov was a neurologist and a psychologist, I think, and he was one of the fathers of classical conditioning. And he was doing some experiments. I really don't know why he was experimenting on dog saliva and how they salivate. Anyway, what he realized was that at the time they were being fed, they were producing a lot more saliva. I think he was collecting it in test tubes. So then he started to look at the times that they were fed and their reactions. Then he realized that just by hearing the sound of the lab assistants going in to feed them, that they produce more saliva because they associated something within their body, I'm assuming hunger maybe, and the sound that this is feeding time. So he started to condition them that if he rang the bell, they would then salivate. There was some work being done by Thorndike with cats and boxes, and some work being done with, I'm sure there was rats and then pigeons as well. When they recognized a word, they get fed. Or was that, might have been the rats. Anyway, this is classical conditioning. So we have this inbuilt system that wants us to survive, helps us to survive, where we scream loudly as a child and everyone comes running to see what's wrong. And as we grow, we hear voices, we are told things, we might pick up from our environment things that aren't safe. Our gut, our second brain, or as I believe our first brain, gets turned off. It might be that you're in that relationship and you're told to turn it off because you're picking up that something's not right, that something feels off, and the abuser doesn't want you to work that one out. They don't want you to understand that or understand that. They are deceiving you in some way, whether that's emotional, whether that's physical, whether that's financial. They don't want you to have that information. So they contradict it. And it might be that that happened in childhood as well. You might have picked up, and as I've said this so many times before, the empath to me is born from this environment where it didn't feel safe. And that this is how it's so finely tuned its body to know a change in atmosphere, to hear somebody breathe in a certain way, to understand what's going on. Now, please don't get me wrong, because some of my abilities, like wound talking, when I tune into, I don't even tune into people's wounds. You know, I might be having a conversation with them and I just feel, oh wow, I feel your wound. I hear their wounds, or I feel their wounds. There's this intuitive ability. So the safest place is your body, out of your head, but you might feel unsafe in there. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to talk you through a really, really quick exercise. It's called dry brushing, and see how you feel at the end of it. It's literally stroking your body. It's taking any emotional connections, any negativity from your body, and it's breaking those energetic connections. So this exercise I used to teach in Reiki, it's called Kenyoku, and it means dry bathing or brushing off. It's a way of getting rid of negative energy. It's like a meridian massage. So we're going to sit quietly for a moment. This is a variation, because what I want you to do at this point is we're going to put you in a bubble of protection, and we're going to see a white light coming down towards the crown, the top of your head, and then it encompasses you, like very much like a bubble that you might blow out of a children's wand or bubble mix. So once we're in that bubble and that bubble has encompassed us, it's protecting us. I want to make sure that you're in a safe environment, you're not driving or operating machinery. If you are and you're just listening to this, then please don't close your eyes. And we're just going to take a few deep breaths in and out just to calm the body down for a moment. Just to say to the nervous system, it's okay. We've got you for a moment. You can step down. And we're going to sit with our hands, palms facing up. And we're going to place the fingertips of our right hand near the top of our left shoulder. So it's sort of where the collarbone meets the shoulder. And it's going to lay flat on our body. And we're going to take a deep breath in. And as we exhale, we're bringing our palm across our body to our right hip. So it's going left shoulder to right hip. So it's drawing a line across the body. We're going to put our hand back in our lap, facing upwards. And we're going to take our left hand and we're going to put that palm down. And we're going to breathe in. And as we breathe out, we're going to do the same. We take the palm across the body to the left hip. We're going to take the right hand again up to the left shoulder and bring it down to the right hip, exhaling as we do so, placing the hand back in our lap. Now taking our right hand again, we're going to put it on the left shoulder. The fingertips are going to be on the outer edge of the arm, and we're going to move the arm or elevate it slightly. And the movement is going to be along the arm towards the fingertips. Again, exhaling as you move your hand along your arm. The hand or the palm is facing up in your lap, and you swap hands again. And this time the left palm is on your arm. Fingertips on the outer edge of the arm. Elevate the right arm up slightly and brush, exhaling as you do so, down towards the fingertips. And we're swapping over again. The left palm goes in our lap facing upwards. Our right palm goes up to our left shoulder. Fingertips on the outer edge of the arm. Left arm is slightly elevated and we brush along to the top of the fingertips. As I said, this is a variation of the technique. So we're going to sit with our palms facing upwards. We're going to see a white energy, ball of energy sitting above our heads, coming in through our crown chakra, and it's just going through our body and it's relaxing every cell. It's flowing through our body and clearing any negative energy. And then we're just going to, like you would, tighten up the cap on a jar. We're going to do that at the top of our head so that this white energy can't get into our body anymore. And we're just going to allow it to wash over us like a shower, breaking any connections that have been missed. And then we're going to turn the shower off. Now you can sit in this bubble for as long as you want, or you can get up and move around now. There are so many different techniques that can help you rebalance and take control of your energy. And gradually over a period of time, you'll start to trust your intuition again. Your second brain will start to become alive. It start to talk to you, as can your wounds. If you'd like to find out more about wound talking or honest conversations, drop me an email, info@innerhealingsanctuary.co.uk, and I will, as the best of my ability, answer those questions. I hope this has been useful this week. You can go to YouTube for lots of different meditations and find out how to work with me at innerhealingsanctuary.co.uk. And I'm sending you loads and loads of love until next time.